is my pleasure to share with you the glorious teachings that Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully bestowed upon us. And so it is a great opportunity and privilege for me to disseminate this. And I pray and hope that all of us who are here, who may find something useful or beneficial, please share it with others so that they too may gain the great benefit of Srila Prabhupada's merciful teachings. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text Number 10.
Is that on the board? 10?
Okay. Payena payasa sabhyam kalavasmin yuge jana mandasu manda matteyo manda bhagya yupadrata prayana payasa sabhyam kalavasmin yuge jana mandasu manda matayo manda bhagya yupadrata prayennal payusa sabhya kalavyasmin yuge jana mandhasu mandam matteyo mandabhagya yupadruta. This chant. Kalavasmin yuge jana mandasu mandam matayo mandam bhagya upandurta Ladies, please. Prayana payasa. word by word synonyms. Prayena, almost always. Alpa, meager. Ayusha, duration of life. Sabya, member of a learned society. Kalo, in this age of quali or quarrel. Asmin, herein. Yuge, age. Jana, the public. Manda, lazy. Sumanda Mataya, misguided. Mandabhagya, unlucky. He, and above all, Upadruta, disturbed. Translation by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men almost always have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and, above all, always disturbed. Please repeat, O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men almost always have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So before I go to the purport, do we all know who is speaking these words which we just quoted? Anyone know? Pardon? Who? Yeah, but who is speaking at this point? The sages. Is that what you said? Yeah, fine. Yeah, I didn't hear. Thank you. Yeah, these are the sages who are speaking, and they're asking Suta Goswami to please reveal the knowledge that he has received when he was in attendance at those famous, well-known 7 days in which King Pariksit was receiving higher knowledge, transcendental knowledge, the Bhagavatam knowledge, from whom? Huh? Yes, from Shukdeva Goswami. So, interestingly, before I even begin the purport, it is amazing the memories that these sages had. Shukdeva Goswami, he heard the Bhagavatam one time from his father, Srila Vyasadeva, and he had it all memorized. And then Suta Goswami, who happened to be at the assembly where Shukdeva Goswami was narrating it, and he heard it one time, and he was able to broadcast it or recall it, remember it perfectly for the sages at Naimisharanya, who are presently conducting a 1,000-year sacrifice in order to prevent the difficulties, problems, tribulations, evils that will beset persons living in the age of Kali. So you can see this is a very great compassion. Anybody here would like to be present at a 1,000-year sacrifice? It's a long sit, you know. It's a lot of sitting and a lot of chanting. But this is done for the benefit of others so that they may not suffer the consequences that they may normally obtain. This is what our life has to be about, which I'll get into in a little bit more. Purport. The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. This is what I just mentioned. When the sages of Naimisharanya analyze the state of affairs of the people in the age of Kali, they foresaw that men would live, that men would live short lives in Kali Yuga. Short lives. In Kali Yuga, the duration of life is shortened not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits, By keeping regular habits and eating simple food, any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, another person's, doesn't mean Krishna's. We should be dependent upon his mercy. Or even the great devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, we must depend upon their mercy because they alone, when they give it, it has an auspicious result. So yes, that dependence, yes, but not on just this one, that one, here and there. Sometimes persons, they'll be in the street, they'll ask a question to this person, then they'll ask 10 minutes later the same question to this one, and so for a whole hour or 2 hours they're asking the same question. Then finally at the end, he begins to wonder, because there were little differences in what he heard, he wonders whether he got the right answer. So tomorrow he'll ask 10 more people. So that kind of dependence is not wanted. This doesn't mean that we can't ask questions, and we should when we're uncertain or doubtful, but we have to get the answers from the right source, people who are familiar with the Shastras, and people who, if they don't know the answer, will honestly tell you, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer, but perhaps, you know, go to Judhakarma, go to Sura Prabhu or Savas, and maybe they can give you the answer. Honesty is the best policy, but sometimes because we have this lorded over mentality and we want to appear smart, we want to appear knowledgeable, we want to appear erudite, we give an answer that is not even the right answer, but just to give an answer. This is very common in karmic life. People don't like to be asked a question and unable to answer it because they feel they're inferior, they feel small, they feel their knowledge is insufficient. It makes them feel, and it shouldn't, small. So being honest, and even if we don't know the answer, so what? The only one who knows all the answers is Krishna anyway, so that should give us some consolation. By keeping regular habits and eating simple food, any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. The people of this age are also very lazy, not only materially, but in the matter of self-realization. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. That is to say, man should come to know what he is, what the world is, and what the supreme truth is. Human life is a means by which the living entity can... can end all the miseries of the hard struggle for life in material existence, and by which he can return to Godhead, his eternal home. But due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. Even if they come to know about it, they unfortunately become victims of misguided teachers. In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, referred to in this country as movies, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad association, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, bickerings, and so on. Their minds are always disturbed and full of anxieties due to so many different engagements. In this age, many unscrupulous men manufacture their own religious faiths, which are not based on any revealed scriptures. And very often, people who are addicted to sense gratification are attracted by such institutions. If an institution, I'm not reading now, I'm just commenting. If an institution can promise some kind of self-gratification or sense gratification,
since people are very much attracted to sense gratification, pleasure, stimulation, then they will be attracted to such teachers because these teachers conform to their unfortunate desires. That is why Srila Prabhupada makes no bones about this, that we should try our best to overcome all and sundry kinds of sense gratification which only attach us ever increasingly more and more to the material world, causing us, unfortunately, to take another birth and another birth and another birth to repeat those gratifications, those pleasures, those enjoyments that we have become attached to in the previous life. So therefore, it is so important for us to become detached slowly but surely through the process of chanting Hare Krishna and through so many other processes that Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully given us, which will, yes, in the long run, in the long range, free us from this desire for this gratification, that gratification, because we will have a higher, greater, sweeter, more delicious taste. And with that sweeter, delicious taste, the other tastes, the lower tastes, will have less importance. And the higher tastes will be our all-important, which will be a total, complete reflection of, or emission of, Lord Krishna's bliss upon us, or grace upon us. The student Consequently, in the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on that the people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. I'll repeat that. Consequently, in the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on that the people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. The student, the brahmachari or brahmacharini communities are no longer being maintained, and householders do not observe the rules and regulations of the grahastha ashram. Consequently, the so-called vanaprasthas and sannyasis who come out of such grahastha ashrams are easily deviated from the rigid path. In the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. Material sense gratification is now the standard of civilization, the all in all, the be all, the end all, the all in all. For the maintenance of such material civilization, man has formed complex nations and communities, and there is a constant strain of hot and cold wars between these different groups. It has become very difficult, therefore, to raise the spiritual standard due to the present distorted values of human society. The sages of Naimasharanya are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls. They want to save us. And here they are seeking the remedy from Srila Sutta Goswami. Omagyana timirandasya nanjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitamyena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet and beg for his mercy that I may say something useful and beneficial for all of us here so that we can all come closer and closer to higher and higher levels of God realization. So just give me a moment to put my pages together so that I can talk about so much. I want to mention that this is, Archita confirmed this, that Prabhu confirmed this, that this verse is an extremely famous one, and it's one we should all memorize. Memorize it in Sanskrit, if you're a Sanskrit file. And if you don't have time for Sanskrit, certainly memorize it in English. Years ago I memorized it. It has so many important points in it. You know, look for the translation just a moment, please. Yeah. Let me repeat the translation. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men are almost always have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So that is the nature of materialistic mentality. So let us take the first one, short-lived. So people like to brag. You hear it all the time on television, magazines, on the computer, Google, call it what you want. Always bragging, yes, we're living longer and longer. Now people can live to 75 and 80 and 85. Whereas if you go back to the 1920s and 1930s and even 40s, you find that people generally died around 45, 50 years old. And even if you get into the 50s, 60, people were dying at 50 and 55, 60. So they say that we've made so many technological advances which enable us to live longer. And that is true to some extent. But to what quality is this longevity? We have to ask that question. What is the quality of our life even though we are living longer? You get a single bypass, the heart, double, triple, quadruple. So they've been able to clear out the arteries in the heart so that the heart can work the way it's supposed to work. But the process involves a lot of involved complex surgery, which in the end result generally means that a person who gets this kind of surgery or gets some other surgery in the lungs, has a lung removed, or has a the liver replaced, or possibly has a pancreas disorder, or has a kidney replaced. So life after these different operations is not the same as it was when we were 20 years old, and we had lots of vigor and vitality and vim. But not the same. Actually, life becomes a lot more tentative, hesitant, uncertain. You just can't pick up and start saying, well, I'm just going to really jog my head, my feet off when you've had a quadruple bypass. Just walking in itself is a great accomplishment. So life becomes one has to be very careful with what he eats, how fast he walks, how much anxiety he has. All these are factors which can influence the operation that we have had. Sometimes the operation. Srisachi, your watch is shining right in my eyes. Thank you. So sometimes the operation has this effect that it causes persons to live a life of uncertainty, anxiety, overwatchfulness. It's not a peaceful life. It's not a calm life. It's okay. You got 30 different pills that you have to take. One for prevent the withdrawal of the, withdrawal of whatever has been sown into the body. Another pill so that you don't get a headache. Another pill so you don't get digestive problems. Another pill. So persons, I've seen them open sometime in the airplane. A person opens up it looks like a compact. You know, ladies, they have these compact. And I see a red pill, a green pill, a purple pill, a white pill, and so forth. And they say, they look at the watch, okay, you know. And then 15 minutes later, a different pill and a different. Your whole life is dedicated and predicated on just taking these pills, which are meant or designed to quiet symptoms. And they do. But each new pill that is taken becomes the precursor of a new disease because most of these pills are made of poison. And so the poison has the wonderful effect of getting rid of a particular symptom, but it becomes the basis of a new disease. And Prahlad Maharaj, he mentions that also. So therefore our whole life is governed by the doctors, the specialists, you know, the pills, and so forth. This is not real, true longevity. It means we put years on, but it's not the longevity, for example, that the Pandavas had when they entered into the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira was 100 years old. Bhima was 99 years old. And Arjuna was 98. And the twins were 97. And Bhishma Dev was near 170. That's an approximation based upon the generations. 170, he's out there like a 25-year-old sport. He's running, he's jumping, he's firing arrows. He wields a club like a young person. Real health, because they lived right, they exercised, they ate the right foods. And they practiced virtue. They performed ceremonies. They maintained good sadhana. Got up early, very early in the morning, like we do here. This is all wonderful training that Srila Prabhupada, again, has so mercifully given us. Normally, I would just sleep to 8 o'clock. Sometimes I still do. sleep to 8 o'clock. But Srila Prabhupada has expressed and explained the virtue, the value of austerity, how it purifies us, how it strengthens us, how it firms us, so that when difficulties, trials, tribulations, problems arise, we are able to deal with them because we have the, what they call, intestinal fortitude. Intestinal fortitude means the grit, the steadiness, the purposefulness, the readiness to deal with it, fight it, overcome it. That's what austerity does for us. So although it's difficult, after some time, those things which previously, long ago, would give us great, great problem, great trouble, become easy. For example, when I was 25 years old, if I had to get up 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, I would pass out practically. Couldn't handle it. But after a while, it gets easier and easier. And then it becomes just commonplace. So compare that to the persons who have to get up at 7 and 8 and 9 o'clock. That's why they're on edge. They have no intestinal fortitude. They have no inner peace. They have no inner strength. They have no inner life. And the result of... And the result of all that is that they're living a life of what they call so-called good luck, bad luck. But it's really not. They've made choices, or they don't even know about the choices they could make to make things better. That's why all you persons, devotees, all of us are beholden to distribute books in some manner or form. If you're shy and don't want to distribute it to a person, and you're on a train, you're on an airplane, generally I always leave a book in the, you know, in the little packet area where they have all those do's and don'ts, you know, on plane. You leave a book or two there. Make sure it's visible so that the next person who sits in the seat, he can see that beautiful, glaring cover. That's a form of book distribution also. Or you can just say, look, this book has done me so much great, wonderful happiness. I can't resist it. I have to give this to you. Please, take it. And if you'd like to give a donation, fine. And if you don't need the donation, then just keep it. And if you love it, if you feel better from it, you can send me a donation. Or send a donation to the publisher. So the important point is sharing that which is so important, so valuable, with others who don't even know about this. So Krishna's given us an assignment to make certain others know about it, learn about it, become knowledgeable in it. And thereby can help their families, help their relatives, help their friends, help their co-office workers. We have so many wonderful experiences, so many letters. Like Vijay, he sends us regular letters. And we see so many things just like what I'm talking about occur. People get it. Sure, millions don't become devotees overnight. But even if one or two or three become a devotee and are favorable to it and want to get involved in it, that's wonderful. Even Bhaktisiddhanta said, if I can even save one person, I feel fulfilled. One, because real saving means not just putting on a show of how many verses, you know, I can do, or putting on a show of how beautiful I can sing the mantras. It all has to do with compassion. It has to do with sympathy. It has to do with empathy, feeling another's problem and wanting to relieve it because you feel that pain which we ourselves have experienced. That's why when Krishna gives us a little pain and suffering and difficulty and tribulation, count it as a blessing because it will make us a better preacher. So many people I knew who made so many offenses. People who didn't even think about offenses, and then they were hit, smacked, knocked down with some heavy, heavy disorder, disease. Made a complete transformation in their character. They were a pleasure to be with. So when Krishna gives us something untoward, unfavorable, it's for the purpose of enabling us. We ask, help me to become God-realized. Krishna is saying, yes, you suffer, 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 and you will become God-realized. Because then nothing will bother you in the ultimate analysis. Why? Because of the fact that you know what it is to suffer and you don't want to give it to anybody else. That's so important. That means real ahimsa. When inwardly we don't have any desire to harm, to hurt, to put down, to condescend to gossip about, any of this. So our main interest, our main concern has to be to try and become more and more Krishna conscious in an attitude, in a mood of complete appreciation for what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And we can show that appreciation not merely by lip service, but by going and doing our service, whatever that service is, whether it's dressing the deities, feeding the deities, cooking for the devotees, chanting the holy name, remembering Krishna, remembering his pastimes. Any of those things help us to become closer and nearer and more pleasing because we're pleasing Krishna to him. So that is our main business. So now getting on with some of the points here. Short-lived, I've talked about that. So real longevity, longevity, Bhima, Yudhishthir, Arjuna, and many of the others there. But this other, we can't really, it's not real longevity, it is what you call patchwork longevity. You stitched here, stitched there, and don't ruffle your feathers, otherwise all the stitches may come out. Another is that's mentioned here that they are quarrelsome. People today are quarrelsome. Why quarrelsome? Because they have no peace. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I can remember it, one who is not connected with the Supreme Lord in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? There can't be. So all these different techniques we are practicing are geared for and guaranteed to give us deeper and deeper peace. Real peace means within. Not putting on a show, you take a few tranquilizers and things don't bother. That's not real peace. Because no sooner does the tranquilizer wear off, as soon as somebody insults us, or somebody decries us, somebody looks down at us, somebody says something bad against us, who are you to talk that way to me? I heard what you said. Immediately we become very quarrelsome. But a person who is in touch with the source of all peace, and who is that source? It's Krishna. When we are chanting, wow, we should be thinking, yes, I'm in touch with the source of all peace. How fortunate I am. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How fortunate I am to be in touch with peace, real love, kindness, sweetness, strength, fame, all the good qualities that Krishna has when we touch them, like when you take the iron rod and you put it in the cold iron rod, put it in the hot fire, it then begins to become hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Put it on the paper, paper burns. Iron rod, which was cold, becomes hot iron rod and can burn. Similarly, the devotee who at the beginning, has no transcendental consciousness, he has only material consciousness, but by this association with Krishna, all these qualities that Krishna has, they leach into our being. And we begin to express peacefulness. We begin to express love. We begin to express kindness. We begin to express helpfulness, mercifulness. All these qualities which are so important to feeling truly and inwardly peaceful and happy become our qualities. And when they become our qualities, we can really do some good service in this world. When somebody insults us because we develop the quality which Krishna is perfect in, is humility, somebody says, hey, you're a fool, you're an idiot, you're a moron, as I've been called many times in my life. So instead of saying, who are you calling a moron? You're more of a moron. So he said, no, I'm not. Look at you. You know, you look like a fool. You speak like, and then before you know it, again, we have the quarrel. But a person who's inwardly peaceful is not going to backbite. Because when a person says, you're a fool, you're a moron, you're an imbecile, he says, how did you find out? Who told you that I am that? Well, a person says, they're not getting upset, not getting disturbed, not getting shaken. So, result is that no fight. You have to have a quarrel to have a fight. But there's no quarrel because he's answering in a very peaceful way. So this is what inner peace does for us. It enables us to throw off the slings and arrows of that outrageous fortune. Ignore them, disregard them, ride over them, not be affected by them. This is what they do. And this is what we will acquire as we more and more absorb ourselves in this. So it also said they are misguided. Well, if you're in the mode of ignorance, how can you be properly guided unless it's by some great fortune, some accidental fortune? But yes, if you're in the mode of passion, you're in ignorance, the people who we will go to for advice, for help, they don't know anything except, to give you some materialistic knowledge which is written in some book. I mean, we can't become God-realized and peaceful and happy by listening to Dr. Phil every day. That's not going to do it. Anybody know who Dr. Phil is? How many know? Because generally, people laugh when I say that. Because, he gives a lot of good, nice, what I call hocus-pocus philosophy or psychology, and it sounds right out of the books. And he's trying to help people, but he's limited because he has no basic Vedic knowledge. The kind of knowledge that is born out of the acquirement or accomplishment of God realization. So if we don't have God realization and we're not speaking from that viewpoint, then what kind of benefit can we give but superficial, shallow, short-lived? So therefore, that's another thing. People are misguided. People are lazy. If sense gratification, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, is the end-all and be-all, then I'm always going to be looking to do nothing. Do nothing is the ideal. Just do nothing. So therefore, when a person is called upon to do something, he doesn't like it because the goal, the ideal, is nothing. So he gets upset. Why do people at the end of a 5-day work week say to their friends, have a nice weekend? Why do they say, have a nice weekend? Because the week was horrible. It was a drudge. It was a horrible situation. Having to work, 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 work. They don't want to work. But a devotee learns how to make work a blessing. He offers his work to Krishna. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, do it for me. And if we do it for Krishna, we will feel blissful, we will feel peaceful, we will feel happy, satisfied. So when the work week, the day ends, you're happy. You end on a happy note. The second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, you don't have to say, have a good weekend, have a nice weekend, because every day was nice. Isn't that what we all want, that everyone should be peaceful and happy and joyful and fulfilled? It can happen if we learn the art of remembering Krishna throughout the day, even if it's a few times. You know, I have this tattoo on my wrist. At least I remember him a few times. You keep a book nearby. Keep a picture on your computer monitor. When we walk out, train our minds to start humming one of the Hare Krishna mantra and one or two of three of these different beautiful tunes. Yeah, you're humming on the street and you're chanting. And we're getting the benefit, the blessings of Krishna consciousness. There are so many opportunities, but instead, you know, we'll just walk and that's it. Think about this, that, and the other thing. We don't take the full benefit of our moments, of our time. Srila Prabhupada said over and over again, make every moment count. How do we make it count? By remembering Krishna, doing something that Krishna would like us to do, glorifying Krishna, honoring Krishna, in some way or another, sharing Krishna. All this is so important and will make us feel happier and happier and happier and happier. So last but not least, they're always disturbed because there is no peace. Look at King Ambarish. He was threatened with death from a fire demon. Did he say, oh, no, don't? He didn't do like that. He remained peaceful. His eyes were closed, palms were together, and he was ready to accept whatever Krishna gave him. Peaceful, calm, tranquilized, naturally. Calm and steady in mind. Look at Prahlad Maharaj. Attempts were made on his life, and it must be 10, 12 times. Threw him off a mountain, pierced him with a trident, throw him into a ditch with 50 cobras ready to bite him. And they did bite him, but they didn't get anywhere. Or exposed to blasting winds, icy cold, scorching heat. This is Prahlad Maharaj. Just put his palms together. His only thought was, my dear Lord, if this is what you want from me, I accept it because you know what is best for me. And if you know what is best for me, what am I to worry about? None of these things affected, disturbed, shook, or in any way agitated him because he was peaceful within. And that's the secret. And everything we're doing is designed, geared for, and focused upon helping us achieve peace within. I know in my own life, my own degree of peace has definitely gone up. I always used to be a very emotional person. I still am to some extent, but nowhere near what it was. And on the basis of that benefit, we should not in any way feel ashamed or hesitant to really shout out, if you will, these teachings for the suffering, miserable, bedraggled humanity. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. If anyone wants to ask a question, we've gone way over time. You can come up to the Vyasasan, and I'll be more than happy to answer it. And if I can't, I'll send you to Vijay or my good friend here. Hari Bol Prabhu. Thank you, Krishna. Hari Bol.